It is Wednesday, January 4th, and this is VOA's International Edition. I'm Sarah Williams in Washington. Coming up, an Israeli soldier is found guilty of manslaughter in the killing of a Palestinian assailant. Adolf Hitler's book Mein Kampf is a bestseller in Germany. And singer Mariah Carey generates controversy with her New Year's Eve performance on television. It's all ahead. In Israel, a military court has convicted an Israeli soldier of manslaughter for killing an incapacitated Palestinian assailant in the West Bank in March. 20-year-old Alair Azaria faces up to 20 years in prison. He will be sentenced at a later date. The incident in the city of Hebron caught public attention when a video showed Azaria shooting 21-year-old Abdel Fattah al-Sharif after he was on the ground and injured following the stabbing of an Israeli soldier. Michael Fishbach is professor of history at Randolph Macon College in Ashland, Virginia. I asked him whether the conviction is a new development in Israeli litigation.
Well, not necessarily. The Israeli military, even the occupation in the West Bank, does have certain procedures that it follows. But I think, so the idea that soldiers would be reprimanded, or in this case actually convicted, of crimes against armed or unarmed Palestinians in the occupied West Bank is itself not unusual. What is unusual and is making such headlines, both in Israel and abroad, is that this action comes in such stark contrast to the public mood, the expressions that have been made by Prime Minister Netanyahu and others in his cabinet in recent years that have been very strongly nationalistic, very harsh attitudes about Palestinians. And so I think the significance comes in the fact that the three-person military court made this decision unanimously to convict him of manslaughter, despite this fairly viscerally nationalistic and anti-Palestinian mood that's going on within Israeli society and the government. In that, I think, lies the significance.
But could that just be because of the evidence?
Well, certainly, and the military is going to say that, look, it's an open and shut case. In fact, the judges said as much. It took them 2 hours to read out the entire verdict in which they picked apart Azaria's claims of self-defense. They said, no, it was clear that the victim was not wearing a suicide belt. It is clear to us that your life was not in danger. This incapacitated a suspect was not a threat to you. I mean, they went through all the evidence and made a very clear and sober case. But again, what is, I think, significant about the case is how much it comes against the backdrop of a hardening right-wing position in Israel. And the other thing that's significant is that, of course, it comes on the heel of the United States' decision to abstain from a Security Council resolution that condemned Israeli settlement building. So the entire question of Israel's occupation of the West Bank and the impact that has globally, as well as the impact it has on Palestinians, like the man who was killed, is once again put out into public view.
I was just going to ask you about that, because also you had recently U.S. Secretary of State John Kerry gave a speech where he was critical of Israel's, you know, the expanding the settlements and you know, spent a lot of his speech, and I guess this is one, it was his last major speech as secretary, talking about that.
Right, and the amazing thing about that decision was that he didn't say anything that American and others haven't been saying for a long time. It's just he said them in public, and it was a sharp reprimand of Netanyahu's policies. Why I think the case, again, at the risk of repeating myself, is important for Israel is that it once again puts Israeli behavior in the occupied territories out in public view. This time, however, the Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu and other Israelis can't simply say it's the United States, it's New Zealand, it's these other countries who are picking on Israel. It's now the Israeli army, which has a very sacrosanct position in Israeli society. It's the army, it's the defense establishment itself that is criticizing at least aspects of Israeli policy and behavior in the West Bank, and that's seen as in a sense, doubly damaging.
Michael Fischbach, professor of history at Randolph-Macon College. Well, joining me here in the studio is social media editor Andrew Palshevsky. So, Andrew, what's going on?
Well, let's jump back to a story that we talked about yesterday, which was the House Republican Conference voting to dismantle or begin to dismantle the Independent Office of Congressional Ethics. And Donald Trump tweeted out and said, maybe you should be focusing on things that are more important than this. And then after that tweet, they decided not to proceed with that dismantling of that independent office. Well, there's a debate now on social media. Was that tweet from Donald Trump the impetus for their reversal, or was it constituents calling in? You have a lot of people giving Donald Trump credit, saying he controlled the House Republicans. He's already leading even before he's inaugurated. But then you have some congressmen who are tweeting out saying, actually, I got a lot of phone calls to my office about this from constituents expressing their anger about this vote to dismantle this Office of Congressional Ethics. And that was what swayed our decision. So there's a bit of back and forth as to who gets credit for this, whether it's Donald Trump or the American people. I expect that debate may continue for a little while longer. But as we continue to see these issues arise, it continues to be something that's discussed. How powerful is social media as a medium coming from Donald Trump versus how powerful are these voices coming from the American people? So we'll continue to look at some of those issues. Another issue on Capitol Hill today, you have President Obama and Vice President-elect Mike Pence up there to talk about the Affordable Care Act, also known as Obamacare. And we're seeing a new term trending, which is Trump Care. President Obama, talking to congressional Democrats, said they should start calling it Trump Care if they start dismantling the program or start making changes to it. So we're seeing those two terms back and forth competing on social media between Obamacare and Trump Care. We're also seeing the Democrats engaging in a campaign to try to stop some of the changes to the Affordable Care Act, and that's hashtag Make America Sick Again, of course, playing on Donald Trump's phrase from the election, Make America Great Again, but they're arguing Make America Sick Again, that any changes to the Affordable Care Act are actually going to hurt Americans, take away health care from Americans. So already this is shaping up to be the big fight early on in this new administration, in this new Congress.
Yeah, just wait till after inauguration.
Absolutely. It's going to get even more fun.
All right. Thanks a lot, Andrew. That's social media editor Andrew Palshevsky. Here are some of the top news stories trending. U.S. President Barack Obama and President-elect Donald Trump and their administrations are dueling over the health care program. Dozens are injured in a New York City train derailment. President-elect Trump again questions the finding that Russia meddled in the U.S. election, and Turkey warns ceasefire violations threaten Syrian peace talks. Expanded coverage of these stories and more are on the voanews.com website. This is VOA.
This is Science in a Minute.
Scientists have discovered that it took a lot longer for non-bird-like dinosaur eggs to hatch than previously believed. It's been long thought that the length of dinosaur incubation was comparable to a bird's, between 11 to 85 days, since the two are related. But after studying the teeth of fossilized dinosaur embryos with high-tech tools, researchers found that eggs of these non-avian dinosaurs took between 3 and 6 months to hatch. This incubation period is typical of today's reptile species. An egg of the huge Komodo dragon, for example, takes about 8 months to hatch. The researchers say their findings imply that this lengthy incubation period may have had an impact on non-avian dinosaurs not surviving the KT mass extinction event some 65 million years ago. I'm VOA's Rick Pantaleo.
This is International Edition on the Voice of America. I'm Sarah Williams. Coming up, singer Mariah Carey's New Year's Eve performance didn't turn out so well. We'll hear why. A A heavily annotated two-volume, 2,000-page edition of Adolf Hitler's Nazi manifesto, Mein Kampf, has sold 85,000 copies in its first year in Germany, despite the hefty cost of 58 euros, or $60. According to the BBC, Mein Kampf reached number one on Der Spiegel's bestseller list for nonfiction in April. A 70-year copyright on the book expired at the end of 2015, allowing the new edition to be made available for purchase for the first time since the end of World War II. Nearly 12 million copies of the original book, published in 1925, sold during the rise and fall of Hitler's Third Reich from 1933 to 1945. The sale of Mein Kampf coincides with a growing political backlash to Europe's migration crisis, including growing public support for Germany's Alternative for Deutschland party and Austria's Freedom Party, which narrowly lost a contest for the presidency in December. Anton Palinka, a political science professor and expert on nationalism at Central European University in Budapest, tells International Edition's Victor Beatty, interest in the book is largely academic and not a reflection of popular support for Nazi ideology.
All academic libraries had bought it. This makes in the German-speaking world some thousands. So some is really, I would put it into the basket of academic interest, legitimate academic interest. For the others, I just have to guess. Maybe, some, of course, there are neo-Nazis around, but the neo-Nazis, I'm sure, had their copies already, old copies from the grandfathers and so on. So, and of course, you could read it, or you have always been able to read it in the internet. As this is first and foremost a crazy book, a nonsensical book, the danger of the book itself is almost non-existing. The danger could be the mood, could be a tendency in public opinion accepting Nazism, but not because the book is the reason for this, because of other elements like the fear of immigration, like a new type of nationalism. The book itself is an interesting phenomenon, but mostly a non-political phenomenon.
Well, you're saying then this does not necessarily reflect popular interest, but perhaps the number of copies will trail off once academic interest cools.
Yes. Yeah, of course, if you put me in the picture of a librarian, let me say in Göttingen, or in Constance, of course, I had to buy it. I had to order it, because for academic research, the annotated, the comments are, of course, important to understand how this crazy book has to be seen and analyzed today. I don't think anyone who reads these books would become a Nazi. Of course, some Nazis who are already Nazis would read this book, but I think after 50 pages, I think they would in a certain way stop it, because it's in a certain way it's almost impossible to read.
Anton Palinka said sales of Mein Kampf may reflect the growing resistance to migration and a rise of nationalism sweeping Europe, but is not the cause of it. This is VOA.
When news breaks, VOA Africa is there, bringing you news as it happens. Listen to Africa News Tonight, Monday through Friday at 1600 and 1800 UTC. And our five-minute newscasts come to you at the top of each hour. VOA Africa, your trusted source of information.
Hello, I'm Carol Castiel, host of VOA's Encounter. Join me and two advocates from the world of politics, public policy, or academia debating critical and controversial issues of our day, bringing depth, perspective, and insight to the world around us. That's Encounter every Saturday and Sunday on VOA.
This is International Edition. One of pop music's great divas is making waves. Here to tell us about it is Border Crossing's host, Larry London.
Mariah Carey. That's a topic that everyone here in the United States is talking about. If the world hasn't heard yet, they certainly We'll be hearing in the next couple of days about the unfortunate debacle, I can't think of a better word to use, with respect to her almost performance, New Year's Eve in New York's Times Square. She was live on television, and that's the problem with live TV, is that you get what you get, and you can't undo it. But Mariah Carey came on. She was the banner star, the big name. I mean, she sold 200 million plus records, and she has more number one songs than anybody else at 18 on the pop charts. And everybody knows Mariah Carey's name around the world. She came on stage. It was her set. And unfortunately, she didn't have the monitor in her ear working to her expectation. She couldn't hear the sound, the song. And so she didn't sing. She just stood there. Many performers would have, at that point, said, hey, we're having some technical problems, folks.
Right.
Let's sort this out. We'll be right back. You would think with her experience in the business, that would be what she did. But no, she got confused. It was obvious to anyone watching. It became very uncomfortable. She was disoriented. She sang. She stopped singing. She talked a little to the audience. You sing. And if she'd stuck with the you guys sing with me, I think that would have worked. But that's not what she did. She then came back on and said, oh, well, let's forget this. This isn't working. Oh, my gosh. Well, you know, can't get any worse. These are things she said live during what would have been her performance.
Which song was she singing?
She's singing the song we're going to play.
Oh.
That's the song that she should have been singing. And this is how it sounds when she does sing it. It's called Emotions.
Okay, well, Larry, now she has had some, I guess you could say, difficulties in recent years.
Yes, well, it goes back a number of years, actually, to when she put out a film in 2001 called Glitter, and it bombed. It bombed miserably at the box office. The soundtrack bombed. It was a very low point in what has been an otherwise stellar career. Mariah is regarded as a diva. It's no secret to her. She's been called a diva. Many people call her a diva. She was on American Idol. She didn't get along with Nicki Minaj on the judging panel. It was a very public, uncomfortable relationship. And she's had a lot of issues, emotional issues. Interesting that the song we just heard was called Emotions. But
yeah,
she's had some issues over the years. She got divorced not too long ago with Nick Cannon. They have two children together, Moroccan and Monroe. She was engaged last year to an Australian billionaire, James Packer. They called that off at the end, and apparently, you know, we still don't know the reason. He says it was her fault. She says it was his fault. But Mariah Carey's had quite an illustrious career, and in 2015, she got a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. World Music Awards named her the best-selling female artist of the millennium. I mentioned 18 number ones. Not only that, but along with her 18 number ones, she's won 5 Grammys, 19 World Music Awards, 11 American Music Awards, 14 Billboard Music Awards. All of that, not enough to keep her grounded. She's, you know, you can tell when you watch her, she's kind of a little uneven, would be the best way to say. So, yes, you know, I mean, Mariah's definitely had an emotional roller coaster over the years, but hopefully she can get it together. A lot of people fear this is a difficult blow and a major setback for her. She's got a new reality TV show that went on in 2016. So we'll have to wait and see what's going on. She was doing a regular Las Vegas performance as well. But, you know, I mean, it's hard to recover from something like this. The big, I guess, cry from the crowd right now is lip syncing. She was lip syncing. Well, so what? All the stars lip sync, you know, and especially to her defense, as she points out, when you're performing in the middle of a bunch of buildings with 2 million people standing there, the sound was kind of overwhelming. You know, your audio was bouncing off of the building. So she, you know, people thought, why doesn't she just pick it up and go with it? So what? You can't hear. Just sing. No, because the sound was all bouncing and delayed and it wasn't normal. And what little she could hear, because the crowd was very, very loud and in a party mood, and here's Mariah on stage. So she lost her concentration. She lost her composure. And it showed, unfortunately. And now it's going back and forth with Dick Clark Productions, who put together the Rockin' New Year's Eve show on ABC TV, where they're saying it wasn't our fault. Mariah Carey's people are saying, well, it wasn't her fault. You know, they tested out the monitor system before in her ear, and it didn't work before, but she was given assurance it would work when you got on live,
yeah,
and then it didn't work. And they say, no, 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 it was working just fine. We've done this for years. This isn't our first show. And so I think we're going to hear more about this as it unravels in the coming days. I don't think Mariah Carey's people are going to let it rest. She's moved on. She said, I choose to focus on other things now. That's what she said. But her management, they're kind of coming out with her defense. Dick Clark Productions coming out with its defense. So that's what's been going on. And that's the number one trending news story on the internet, believe it or not.
Wow. And I think we will be hearing a bit more about this story. Thanks a lot, Larry. That's VOA's Border Crossing host, Larry London. And that is the music, of course, of Mariah Carey. Well, in other news, President-elect Donald Trump said Wednesday he plans to nominate Wall Street lawyer Jay Clayton to head the Securities and Exchange Commission, which regulates financial markets here in the U.S. Clayton currently works as a partner with the law firm Sullivan & Cromwell, where he specializes in public and private mergers and has worked on several high-profile initial public offerings. In a statement announcing his election, Trump said Clayton is a highly talented expert on many aspects of financial and regulatory law. Keeping with his campaign promises to cut regulations that have stifled investment, Trump said Clayton will ensure our financial institutions can thrive and create jobs while playing by the rules at the same time. Clayton, in a statement, thanked Trump for the nomination and said he will work with financial stakeholders to restore confidence in American investments. And that is our show for today. Please remember to visit our website at voanews.com. I'm Sarah Williams. Thanks so much for joining us.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Lebanon's parliament has overwhelmingly approved a national unity cabinet headed by Prime Minister Saad Hariri with a vote of confidence. A new 30-member national unity cabinet, comprised of most of the country's political groups, was announced in December, nearly 2 months after a president was elected. Hariri vowed that his top priority would be to protect the country from the effects of the civil war in neighboring Syria. In a statement, U.S. Ambassador to Lebanon Elizabeth Richard welcomed the formation of a new government in Lebanon. I want to personally congratulate Prime Minister Hariri and commend him on forming a government, Ambassador Richard said. We look forward to working with him and his government. The Lebanese people are facing many challenges, and they now have a government that can get to work to address these issues. The United States reiterates its commitment to the Lebanese people and institutions, as well as its support for building a secure, stable, and prosperous future. Lebanon will not be alone in dealing with the challenges ahead. The United States also pays tribute to the steadfast leadership of Prime Minister Tamim Salam. Throughout this difficult period of political impasse, said Ambassador Richard, we appreciate his commitment to strong American-Lebanese relations and look forward to his continued counsel in the years to come. The United States is proud to work with its partner Lebanon for the peace and security of the people of Lebanon and the Middle East region.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government. For a transcript of this and other VOA editorials, or to receive editorials by email, visit the VOA Editorials Internet homepage at www.voanews.com/editorials.